All right, well, I'm excited about getting into God's Word with you today in the book of Philippians. We are going to look at verses 6 through 9 and seek to get some of God's wisdom during lockdown. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi while he was in prison, and we're going to read just verses 6 through 9, so I'd encourage you to take out your Bible and follow along during the message. Here's what the Word of God has to say. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we are grateful to be able to gather around your word today. Even though we can't physically assemble, we can gather around the sound of your word and the message of your word. And we just praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for the songs that we were able to sing and rejoice in your goodness and faithfulness. And Lord, truly we do praise you as trustworthy in every respect. God, we depend on you for our salvation. We depend on you for every moment of every day, Lord, that you might strengthen us and enable us to live for your glory. God, we come to this passage of Scripture today knowing that you want to use it to give us wisdom. During these unusual circumstances we find ourselves in, we need more than ever to have your truth and your wisdom really fill our hearts and minds so that we can be at peace with you, at peace in our hearts, and mostly, Lord, so that we can give glory to you by being the salt and light this world around us so desperately needs right now. So God, we pray you teach us from your word today. Teach us how to have your wisdom in these times. I pray you'd bless, Lord, and use this message to work in each of our hearts to bring greater glory to your name. And we pray this in the name and the authority of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we turned to Matthew chapter 5, and we saw how God intends us to be salt and light in the world. And because of God's work in us, Christians are different. We have now come to see that Jesus is the only Lord and the only Savior. So we come to see the world entirely different. We've come to understand that God made all things for His glory and that He is working out a plan to rescue people from their sins and to make all things new. One of the ways this new perspective shows up is our response to current events. The way we respond to what's going on around us ought to be different because we recognize Jesus is the Lord and Savior. We've got to be careful not to come to the events and respond to them just the way the world around us does. So in the midst of all the chaotic things that are happening, we need to know deep in our hearts that God is trustworthy. And we will be salt and light to this world if we keep a right view of God and His work in our lives. So this passage today, God's wisdom during lockdown, especially speaks to our needs. It addresses anxiety. Anxiety or worry is something common to all of us, and yet it's clearly forbidden by this passage. It begins with the words, "Be anxious for nothing." This particular sin is a hard one because it happens to all of us. We quickly fall into it when circumstances are unfavorable. It feels normal to get anxious and worried about things. And yet, God's word has a different perspective for us. Worry will choke us. In fact, the root of our English word worry means strangle. Isn't that a vivid picture? Worry can strangle out a lot of things in our lives. It strangles out peace, joy. It can strangle out our health. It can strangle out relationships or many opportunities. The cure for anxiety Paul gives us in this passage is really three different attitudes, three different actions even, that we need to take. There's three key actions to substitute for worry that will help us have a right view of God and a right view of His work in our life. The first one is found in verses 6 and 7. It's pretty obvious. It's be prayerful. Notice again what he says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So be prayerful. Paul uses three different terms here to describe how we should pray. The word prayer, and then he says supplication and thanksgiving. And the word prayer is just the general word for making requests known to the Lord. It's what we ought to do. The first step when we find ourselves worrying, we ought to talk to the Lord about it. We ought to come to Him in prayer and come to bring our needs before Him. So we ought to come before God with a sense of worship to Him, a sense of recognizing how great that He is. What a privilege it is for us to be able to talk to the God of heaven, to be able to go into His presence. You know, there are many people desperate to find information right now. And it's a little overwhelming if you try to keep up with all the news and all the events, which I don't try to keep up with. I try to check in like once a day, see what's going on in the world, and then continue doing what I need to do and not worry about all that. But we're desperate to get information. We're desperate to get contact. And every Christian has the opportunity to go before the presence of God, to talk to the one who knows all things. So when anxieties come, we ought to be prayerful. The second word he uses is supplication here. Supplication is the idea of earnestly asking requests, bringing our needs before God and pleading with Him to help them. We're certainly not heard by God because we talk too much or because we talk enough. In fact, when we get back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, Jesus specifically says, we will not be heard for our much speaking. But at the same time, we ought to come with an earnestness and an energy before God, a zeal to have Him hear us when we ask and to expect Him to answer. But notice how Paul, when he talks about prayer here, it's not all about asking. Notice how he says this prayer and supplication should be done with thanksgiving. So along with our coming to God in adoration and coming with our requests, we are to come with appreciation. All the requests come with appreciation. Not just coming begging and complaining, but coming grateful to God. So there's really two key ideas about prayer and being prayerful that I want you to get as we look at this text. I want you to know that prayer reveals where our hope lies. So when you pray, it reveals what you trust in. Prayer reveals where our hope lies. If you call your friend every day to hash out your problems and to talk to them about your worries and concerns, it reveals that you are thinking you're going to find some help from your friend, even if it's just a listening ear or some wisdom they might have. By talking to them reveals you think they can help with this. If you're like me, you tend to keep your thoughts to yourself. Instead of going and talking to other people about your worries, you hold on to them. And when we do that, we reveal that our hope lies in ourselves. We think we can figure it out. You know, if I can just mull this over enough, if I can consider it from enough angles, then I'll be able to figure it out. That's what I tend to do. It means that I'm not dependent on my friend for my hope, but it means I'm dependent on myself. Now see, when we go to God in prayer, we're expressing that we don't have the answers. We're expressing that our friends don't have the answers. We're expressing with confidence that God is the one who has the answer. If we take our concerns to Him and seek His thoughts about our concerns in His Word and in prayer, then we reveal that we believe God has the solution to our problem. We're dependent on Him. So be prayerful, Christian, because your hope lies in God, not in yourself, not in your wisdom, not in the collective wisdom of the world around us. Our hope is in God. And that ought to give us great boldness to come to Him, and it ought to give us great confidence that no matter what's going on in the world today, our hope is not in the response of the government to this situation. Our hope is in God Himself. And that is a great hope. Prayer not only reveals where our hope lies, but it reveals what our what we pray about shows what we want. If we just want to get free from the trouble, that's how we pray. We pray and say, God, take this away. God, fix this. God, solve this. But God may have a bigger goal in mind. Well, I'm going to say God does have a bigger goal in mind than just solving our problem or relieving our circumstances. His big goal is to make us like Christ. And if we miss that, our prayers turn into, instead of coming to God with thanksgiving, they turn into coming to God with complaint giving. We come and pour it out to God and worry out loud to Him and let Him know what we think He ought to do and how He ought to fix it. We come as though God needs our input so that He understands what to do. And it's expressed when we come to God saying, Lord, I know what we really need here. Here's what you need to do. Here's how you should fix this. Or we say, Lord, if only you would do this, then everything would be better. When we come to God like that, we come to Him as though we are God and He is supposed to do what we say. But that's not how it works. Just to say that out loud seems ridiculous. To think that we could tell God what to do. To think that we know better than Him. The one who put the stars in their places. We're going to tell Him how to order our lives. We're going to tell Him how to fix it all. No, when we come to God in prayer, we need to have the same goal that God has. What is it that God wants to do through this virus and this lockdown and through all of our circumstances being in upheaval? What is it He wants to do? Well, I don't know all the answers to that, but I know the big answer. The big answer is that God is doing all things for His glory, and He's doing all things for the good of His people. Romans 8, 28 and 29 really expresses this so clearly when it says that we know that all things work together for good to them that are I just forgot what it said. I'm going to have to turn there because I'm going to misquote it right here to the whole internet, and that would be terrible. So Romans 8, 28 says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And he goes on to say in verse 29 that God's purpose here, His good that He's trying to do, is to conform us to the image of His Son. So what is it God's trying to do in your life through this virus, through this lockdown, through this change in your work situation? Well, He's trying to conform you to Jesus Christ. Think about the ways that God is using this difficulty to make you more like Christ. Just one thing that's so obvious through all of these events that are going on right now is that we don't have all the answers. We don't know everything. We're weak. We're fragile. Our lives, as much as we work to keep our bodies in good shape and spend all kinds of money on supplements and diets and have all these plans to keep things in order, in a moment, it can be taken away. Our lives are so fragile. This circumstances we're in right now, it reveals how weak we are. It reveals how much we need God. It doesn't cause us to need God. We always have needed Him. It doesn't make us weak. We've always been weak. What it does is it demonstrates to us that we are weak. It demonstrates to us that we need God's wisdom. So when we pray with this in mind, it teaches us, Lord, I need your help. I need you to guide me. I don't come to God with all the answers for God. No, I come to God needing the answers from him. Instead of me pouring out my complaints to God, Paul says in these verses that in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How can we come to God with thanksgiving? Well, it can only happen if we have the attitude of surrender. Because we don't know what's best. We're not here to tell God what to do. We're coming, submitting ourselves to God, saying, Lord, you have placed me in these circumstances. You have caused these things to go on, and I'm trusting, Lord, that you are working through them for my good. So, Lord, teach me how to do that. God, thank you for using something even bad for good. We have an attitude of gratitude when we are able to surrender to God's plan of using whatever it is that's making us anxious as an opportunity to grow. So when we find ourselves in lockdown, what do we need to do? We need to be prayerful. And if we come to God with our requests, with our needs, with an attitude of thanksgiving to him, then God gives us what verse 7 talks about, and that is his peace. It says, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If our prayers are full of surrender to God and trust in God, what does that lead us to? It leads us to peace. I mean, what do we have to worry about if God's got this? If God's in control, what is there to fear? If God is working even through bad circumstances to do good, why do I need to be anxious? Why do I need to fret and worry and act as though God is not trustworthy? Now, if I recognize God is trustworthy and I bring my concerns to him, knowing that he's my loving Heavenly Father, when I do that, he says he will guard our hearts and minds with peace. The better we know God, the better we understand what he teaches about himself and his word, the more confidence we have in him, the more trust we have. So we can worry less because we know better that God, he's got this. The peace that is talked about here involves the heart and the mind. And a very famous verse in the Old Testament addresses this spot on. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Right in a chapter that I've heard brought up concerning this whole coronavirus, because later in the chapter it talks something about staying in your houses. Let me just say that Isaiah 26 is not talking about the coronavirus. But if you want to get anything out of Isaiah 26, look to verse number 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So if we want God's peace, we need to be prayerful. And secondly, we need to be thoughtful, because wrong thinking will lead to wrong feeling. And so we need to look here at verse number 8, back in our text of Philippians 4, and see how Paul turns right to our thinking after he's talked about our praying. Verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we're to be thoughtful. Several ideas for you here about being thoughtful. First, we must think selectively. Notice how Paul walks through and he says, think about this and this and this and this. Not just let your mind go wherever, but to direct your thoughts. Our thoughts are very real and powerful. Even though we can't see them and hold on to them or measure them, we must bring every thought, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, to the obedience of Christ. We ought to be discriminatory in our thoughts. Certain thoughts we don't allow, and certain thoughts we hold on to. We are all this way when it comes to eating. If you go to a buffet, you don't just eat everything on the buffet because there are some things that just don't interest you at all. You focus on the things you like, the things you want, and you selectively eat. You wouldn't go to the grocery store and just buy one of everything, even if you were hoarding right now for the coronavirus. You wouldn't do that because you're selective, naturally, in what you eat and what you like. And Paul is telling us here we need to be selective in our thoughts as well. We get in danger when we just let our minds run wherever they go, and pretty soon our fears are driving the boat and it's going out of control, headed for the waterfall. No, we need to control our thoughts. Paul says here to think about certain things. We must think also correctly. We must think correctly. Sometimes we worry because we have the wrong concerns and the wrong priorities. We're focused on the wrong thing, so we're full of anxiety. Jim Berg, in a book dealing with anxiety, he said this: our anxieties always reveal our priorities. Our anxieties always reveal our priorities. Isn't that so true? You know, what we love and what we're concerned about losing, that's what we get anxious about. What we're concerned about getting damaged, well, that's what we're worried about. Anyone who's ever got a car that's new to them knows what this is like. Because when you first get a car, you're very concerned about who's going to eat in it, what kind of drinks are going to be in it, how close you're parking to someone else because you don't want to get it scratched and banged up. And then over time, all those concerns, they get lost. And then pretty soon everybody's eating everything in the car and you're parking and not even paying a lot of attention to it. But when you first get it, you're thinking about it, you're valuing it, you're treasuring it, and so you get anxious about it. Our anxieties reveal our priorities. So when we come to this and our thoughts start getting anxious, we ought to ask ourselves, Lord, am I worried about the right thing? Am I concerned about the right thing? What does my anxiety reveal about what's important to me? Should that be this important to me? Lord, what do you want me to do about this? We need to think correctly. Sometimes, before we can overcome our worries, we need to repent of our sinful priorities that lead to the problem in the first place. Other times, our worries are expressions of real concerns that should be real concerns. If we're concerned about the health and safety of our family, that's a good priority. There's nothing wrong with that. We should be concerned about that. But we worry when we handle it in the wrong way. You know, if our concerns are a priority to God, He has already given us instruction about how to handle them. He's already given us direction. The problem may be that we're unfamiliar with what His Word has to say. And in a time like this, we need to be careful we don't lean on our own understanding, but we must think biblically. And that's why Paul gives us a list of things to think about. Now, let's just walk through them real quickly. We must think biblically, things that are true, things that are accurate and true to fact. Now, maybe when I was younger, I thought that everything I saw on TV was accurate and true to fact. And I just don't think that way anymore. Everything that shows up on the internet is not accurate and true to fact. I'm not going to say it's all fake news, but we need to be careful that we're not letting our minds run with whatever the latest speculation is, and we focus instead on what is true and what's right. He also says things that are noble, things that are honorable, that are worthy. And then he says, think about things that are just, things that are right, that are appropriate, things that are pure, they're uncontaminated, undefiled, things that are lovely, that are pleasing and agreeable. I mean, just think about your thoughts. Do they go to things that are lovely, things that are honorable, things that are just, things that are good? And if you're filled up with anxiety, they don't. They don't go to those things. They go to, what if this goes wrong? Or what if this happens? Or what if? They go to all kinds of fears about possibilities, speculations. Instead, we're to focus on things that are certainties. What is the reality? Well, I might get the virus. I might get sick. I might die. The truth is, we are all going to die. That is a certainty. But what I know for sure, whether I die prematurely in my mind or not, I know the certainty is that because Jesus paid for my sins, I'm going to spend eternity with him. So that gives me comfort to know. If the Lord should take my life before I'm ready, if he would take it now instead of later, then I know that God is still good. And he has a plan. And he's working out good things. And he'll take care of my family. And he's going to work in their lives through all of these things. I don't know what all may happen, but I know what's true. No matter what happens, God is trustworthy. And God is working out good things. Our focus ought to be on the promises of God, not the what ifs of what might go wrong. We can't afford to waste all our thinking on things that are not true and not biblical. If you would take verse 8 of Philippians 4 and you would compare it to Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9, you'd see a parallel between the Word of God and these descriptions. In other words, Psalm 19 describes the Word as true and just and pure and lovely, all of these things. The greatest thing to focus our attention on is the Word of God. That's why, even though we're not able to gather together, and we still want to encourage you to use this little booklet to work on reading the Bible together. We still want to encourage you to memorize the verses each week, because you need desperately to think biblically during these times. One other thought on this. If you look at the end of verse 8, it says, meditate on these things. We must think constantly. To meditate, when the Bible talks about meditation, it doesn't talk about emptying your mind. And you've probably seen the image of a guy sitting cross-legged on the floor, like would probably hurt me to do, and holding his hands out and closing his eyes and just repeating maybe some sound or some phrase over and over, trying to clear his mind. Biblical meditation is not that. It is not about clearing your mind. It is about filling your mind. It's not trying to empty the truth out of your head. It's trying to get the truth in your head. And if you are prone to worry, you already have the tools to be a master meditator on God's Word. Because what do we do when we worry? We consider a problem or a potential problem from every angle. And isn't it true that any problem that comes up we worry about, we have already figured out like 15 different scenarios where this could just get worse, where it could be bad? We're looking at a potential thing from every angle, and we're trying to figure it out. How can we stop this? How can we prevent this? Well, meditating on God's truth is doing the same kind of thing. Take the idea that God is trustworthy. Meditate on that. If God is trustworthy, what does that mean? Just go ahead and consider it from every possible angle. Does that mean I can trust him right now? Yeah, it does. Does that mean he's going to keep his promises? Yes. Does that mean that God is going to use all of this for good? Yes, he's trustworthy. Meditating on his truth. Just take any characteristic of God, any verse of Scripture, and think about it every angle you can. We must think constantly about the truth so that we're grounded in it instead of grounded in our fears. Paul urges us to one other thing in verse number 9, and I'd like to draw your attention to it now. What is God's wisdom for us in lockdown? Well, first it's to be prayerful, then to be thoughtful, and then in verse number 9 is to be purposeful. He says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Such a great encouragement in times of chaos that the God of peace will give his peace to us and he will be with us. You can't separate your outward actions from what's going on in your heart. Jesus said very plainly that it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. It's out of the heart that flow all these other things. So if we're prayerful the way we ought to be, we're submitting ourselves to God, we're thankful to God, we're trusting in God, we're leaving our concerns with him. If we're thinking about the right things, then we need to take the next step and do the right things. I find that when I worry about something, I tend to procrastinate. I don't know if you do that, but when I'm worried something's not going to work, I tend to not even try to do it because I'm worried about what's going to happen. If I'm worried about a conversation I'm going to have with someone, how it's going to go, then I just don't want to have that conversation. I try to avoid it. Paul's telling us to do the exact opposite here. He says, look, if you trust God, then you need to do what you're supposed to do. The things that you've learned, received, heard, saw, these do. There's a big difference between hearing about what we should do, understanding we should do it, even seeing somebody else doing it. We've got to do it. You know, if you come and the only time you get into God's word is during a sermon at church, then you're learning, you're hearing, you're receiving, you're seeing, but you're not doing. And if you're not doing on your own, you don't have this comfort that comes from the God of peace. We need to make it a priority to be purposeful, especially in times that are chaotic, especially in times where we're prone to worry, especially when we're fearful. We need to make sure that we are doing what God is calling us to do. A freedom from anxiety here is tied to activity. It is not enough to know. We must faithfully practice what God says. When we come to God with our concerns, we come to him with our praise, then we're meditating on his truth. We're trying to know what's right. Then what is it we need to do? That's the next step. What is it we need to do? Maybe it's something that we're neglecting because we're busy worrying. What is it that we need to do instead of being fretful? Maybe instead of worrying about what might happen to our families with this virus, we should call our family and talk to them. We should see if they need anything. We should go deliver them something that they need. Maybe we should be taking care of our family. Maybe we should be playing with our children. Maybe we should be going to sleep at night instead of spending our time worrying about what could be or what might be. Psalm 55:22 says this, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. In Philippians 4, Paul's given us three key actions to do instead of worrying that all lead us toward having a right view of God and a right view of his work in our hearts. There is a cure for anxiety. It's having this right view of God and what he's doing in our lives. We're to be thoughtful, we're to be prayerful, we're to be purposeful. These are the antidotes Paul gives. If you're looking for a vaccine, this is it. Be prayerful, be thoughtful, be purposeful. Vaccinate yourself to worry through prayer, thinking about God and his truth, and a dedicated obedience to the Lord. Let's go ahead and bow our heads together. We need to ask God to help us, all of us, have these kind of priorities, these kinds of attitudes in this chaotic time. Let's pray together. God, we thank you today for your truth, how it is clear, how it is powerful. And we come and confess, Lord, that we get wrapped up with anxiety when we fail to remember the truth. We fail to remember the truth about who you are and what you've called us to do. And so, God, we come today asking you, Lord, to cleanse us of our unbelief. Cleanse us of our ignorance. Lord, may you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, may you teach us more about you. May the truth of your word fill our hearts and our minds. May we be confident, Lord, of you. Strengthen our faith, Lord. Strengthen us with might so that we don't have to deny there's any problems out there, but we must not deny that there is a God who is in control and who is working things together for our good and who is using even this for our benefit. And so, God, we pray that you'd help us. Fill our hearts and minds with your truth. Help us, Lord, to put aside our fears and embrace our God and to embrace our responsibilities to you and to one another. Lord, that we might be the salt and light in this world right now. That we as your people would demonstrate that there is a God who's trustworthy. And you might use that, Lord, to bring great glory to your name. That others might see it and be led to put their trust in you as well. God, again, we thank you for your word and we ask you to use it in our lives this week. Help us, God, we pray, to be prayerful and thoughtful and purposeful in all we do to live our lives for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us.